Welcome to church. This is week number 9,000 of Better Together, and we're going to be talking about building relationships. And this is the building part, is that we're all created for connection, whether you understand that or not. But we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. We'd like to welcome our online audience as well. Thank you guys for tuning in. Can we give our online audience a great big God bless you as well? Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for being in the room. When someone you love tells you something more than one time, do you listen? Do you listen? Let me ask the question again. When someone you love tells you something more than once, do you listen? Most of you do. Okay. I'll be praying for the rest of you. It's whatever's important to that person needs to become important to us. So if you're married, that was a good time for you to say yes. If your spouse is saying something to you a few different times, and that's a good time to be, okay, I'm going to make this important to me as long as it lines up with the Word of God, amen? Now, if it doesn't, we could talk about that privately. It's the same way with God. When we hear a certain thing repeated in the Word of God, or we see it, and then if the Lord speaks to us and brings something up, and sometimes it's confirmed through two or three people, like the Bible says, how many know we need to give that weight? We need to give that place in our hearts and like make a note, like, hey, this is important to God, so it needs to be important to me. In our relationship with God, whatever he says needs to be important. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It'll be on the screen if you don't have a Bible today. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Just a fun fact. Who do you think he's talking about there? Let us make human beings in our image. It's a question that theologians have asked for years, but an answer that points back that actually really makes sense is the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So three in one, let us make man in our image. Just a fun fact there. You see the Trinity from the beginning. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along. So big things and little things we will rule over. We're made in the image in the likeness of God. Do you understand that? You're not God, but we're made in the likeness, and we have characteristics that are similar to the Lord. Amen? Understanding more of God helps us discover and embrace our purpose. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. Don't you be looking at your neighbor and calling them a dirtbag. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. There's hope. There's hope. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 18. The Lord God placed the man in the garden to tend and to watch over it. So do you see the theme that's going on here? God created man. God created the livestock. Now he's placing the man in the garden to tend to watch over it. Verse 18. Then the Lord God said, wait a minute. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper just right for him. So here we're talking about a marriage relationship. Like, this guy's talking to animals. He's talking to the trees. Like, whatever. Use your imagination in a creative way. He's looking like, wait a minute, it's not good for this dude to be, it's not good for my brother to be alone. I need to make him a helper. He needs help. He needs help, everybody. All the other animals, they have a match, they have a pair. There's male and female. Biological male, biological female. She's like, I'm going to make him a helper. And that's where he created Eve. Here we see several scriptures in Genesis from the book of beginnings concerning creation, but concerning connection. And I'm not just going to talk about marriages today. I'm going to talk about relationships because we're created to connect with God, our Heavenly Father, but we're also created to connect with each other. It's horizontal relationships and vertical. Both are important to God. Both are needed and necessary, but there's a point where they all intersect. Where they all intersect, and that's where Jesus becomes the center of every relationship in your life. Friendships, husband and wife relationships, moving forward. But this verse here is talking about it's not good to be alone. It's not good to be isolated. It's not good to be lonely. It's not good for anybody. We're not created to be isolated or to be lonely. It's been said that isolation is the playground of Satan, our enemy. I understand people like their quiet time, but you alone being quiet with your own thoughts after a while is not good. It's not good for anybody. As self-sufficient and as capable and as introverted as you might be, it's not good. We all need to be around people, even if it's one person. And someone might say, well, I have my spouse. Your spouse is praying that you get somebody else in your life. No one paid me to say that, by the way. I'm just offering that freely. Having fun, maybe. But we all created in the image and the likeness of God. Why? Because we're all created to connect with God, to be in a loving relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. And that's the basis for every other relationship in our lives, is that we have to see God as our loving Heavenly Father, not as a God getting ready to strike us down whenever we do something wrong. That's not Him. That's not His nature. That's not His character. There is a very a very interesting side of God, that God does have feelings. God does get angry. God is just. There is judgment. But He took that out on Jesus. For the New Testament Bible believer, you reap what you sow. So there's times where God will come in and be like, no, that's not right. We need to stop this and do that. But the law of harvest here is that if you sow bad seeds, you're going to reap bad crops. You sow to the flesh, you're going to what? Reap of the flesh. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to what? Reap of the Spirit. So my question today is, what are you sowing? You're a farmer in this thing called life, in your journey of life. What are you sowing? What seeds are you planting? Because that's the harvest you're going to get. But I've got some good news for you. If you haven't been sowing the right seed, I believe that we can declare and decree and speak over a supernatural crop failure of the negative seeds that you have planted in your life by God's mercy and by His grace. I believe that you can make new decisions today and to get it right and start saying right things, start saying and praying scriptures, start getting things right today so you can have a bountiful harvest, because we're living in the last days and we need to experience the goodness of God because of what could be coming. You look at the world, we're living in the last days, the last of the last days. And you're going to hear about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines, and we need to experience the goodness of God. But we need to believe in the goodness of God. That comes from a healthy relationship, knowing God as our Heavenly Father and that He loves us. I'm not a dad. Ask my kids. Sometimes they don't think I'm the best dad in the world. But they know that I love them. They know that I'll provide for them. They might not always get all the snacks that they want or the specific brand name or kinds of snacks that they want, but they'll know we have snacks in our house. There'll always be food and meat in our house. They'll experience the goodness of God that I can bring as a father, because God wants us to experience His goodness. He's a loving Father that loves us so much and has good plans for us, no matter what your entry point is in life. If you're 85 years old, if you're 90 years old, or if you're just getting ready to receive Jesus today, the blessings and the benefits of God are yes and amen for you. God didn't put an age restriction on there, amen? Aren't you glad for that? We're also created to connect with other people. God made Adam, and God gave Adam a job and responsibilities. God saw that it was not good for him to be alone. Something was missing. There was an important relationship, a connecting point. He needs a companion. He needs a partner. He needs a friend. Adam needs a woman in his life to straighten him out. So here we see God's design for marriage early on. And that's an important relationship. So all the single people, I want to give some instruction to the brothers. Before God ever created you to be in a relationship, he gave you a job. He gave you a job. If you don't have a job, then don't be in the relationship. Get the boundaries, get the parameters right. Get a job first. Everyone's smiling. That's awesome. Yeah. That's for you guys online. Thank you. But get a job first. Get your priorities right. Get a job. Be faithful. Be working. Then ask God for a relationship. Ladies, vice versa, same thing. We're all created to want to be in a relationship, and that's healthy, and that's right, and that's true. But let's keep the first things first. Let's get priority in our life. Let's make sure we have a healthy relationship with God. Let's make sure we have a job. And let's make sure that we're doing some things right, too, before we actually look for a relationship and for someone to complete you. Because the only person that completes you is God. Your spouse is supposed to complement you. You're working together. You're co-laborers in the kingdom of God together. Don't believe God for the right person. Be the right person. But God saw that something was missing in Adam's life. He needed a partner, a friend, a spouse. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Can we talk about this for a second? We live in a two-story home. I know the footsteps of people in my life. I can tell you who's walking up the stairs by the sound and the pace of their footsteps. Rachel's dad, many years ago after we first got married, he used to have a saying, and maybe some of you have used this, like a bull in a china shop. And he had a thick New England accent. He was funny guy, awesome, love him dearly. He's in heaven right now. Some people in your life might have footsteps that sound like they're like a bull in a china shop. When you know somebody, you know the sound of their footsteps. You know their pace. One thing having a security background is that I've often listened to and make observations of people and their pace, their footsteps, the shoes. This way here, if there's ever a situation and I can't see them, I can know who that is or have an idea of who that could be for security reasons. Just the training that I got, just interesting fun fact. You know the sound of the, I know Rachel's walk. I know the sound. I could probably almost tell you the shoes that she has on. And the pace. Some people have a longer pace. Some people have, you know the sound of the people that's closest to you. Adam and Eve, yes, they had sinned. They knew the sound of the pace of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, the Bible doesn't specifically say if he did it every day, but there's an underlining current there that when he would come to hang out with them and fellowship with them in the cool of the day, that they had to have known the pattern and the footsteps of God, almost like he did it before. So as they're walking in the cool of the day, oh, that sounds like God. Hide. Because they had sinned. You know the sound of people who are closest to you. Here's the part. Every healthy relationship needs a boundary. Friendships, marriages, relationships need boundaries. And this is what happened in the garden. A boundary was crossed. God said, hey, look, everything, every tree, you can eat fruit from it, but that one. Don't touch that one. Don't touch that tree. If you eat of the fruit, you will surely. He set a boundary. He set a parameter. Every relationship needs a parameter and a boundary because it's healthy. Adam and Eve crossed the boundary, and there was a consequence. So I want to encourage you. If there's people in your life, in your relationship, that you need to establish boundaries with. There's seasons of your life, but there's times that you need to evaluate your relationships. Some relationships pull us down. Some relationships just aren't good. Some relationships are very one-sided. It doesn't have to be like that for you. So how do you make that right? You create a boundary. You know, my dad never got a chance to see any of our kids born because he had already gone to heaven. He passed away a week after Rachel and I got married. So several years later is when Joey was born. I can picture my dad, and we can talk about it when I get to heaven many years from now, should Jesus return. But I kind of have a theory because I know who my dad was. That my dad would not have boundaries, you know what I'm talking about? He would probably buy them like whatever they needed, but like times 100, and then show up anytime that he wanted to show up because he wanted to hold and rock the baby. But I can kind of picture this little role play situation that whenever the baby had a dirty diaper, Dad, here you go. How do you like that boundary? Just playing, but it's something that has always been in my mind. Every healthy relationship has a boundary. So I want to encourage you, examine your relationships and put up boundaries that are healthy and create those in your life. If you need help, we can talk about that separately. But here's something that's interesting. As we're created for connection with others, we need to establish those boundaries with others. When we look at the Bible, our best example is Jesus, would you agree? So talking about small groups, talking about building relationships, talking about healthy boundaries created, stepping away from the marriage part in Genesis, here's what Jesus often did. I'm just going to paraphrase a couple of things here and give you just the references, and you can search it out. But we look in the Bible, Jesus often gathered, he taught, he ministered, and he ate and he relaxed in a small group setting. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 20 through 20. One day Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they had fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Hey, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. See, interesting fun fact is that in John chapter 1, verse 35 through 42, we have a dialogue here that Jesus already knew these guys. He already had an encounter with them. They already knew Jesus. Jesus had already talked to Peter and Andrew when he was preaching in that area previously. So the relationship, Jesus knew where to find the fishermen. Relationships are intentional. You have to be intentional about relationships in your life. That's why we're launching small groups, is because we're coming from a season of where several years ago there was isolation. It doesn't matter what your demographic is, how much money you do or don't have, what job you do or don't have, if you're retired or not retired, if you're a student or not, or how old you are, or what generation you come from, or even what kind of music or food that you like. We can come together, and we're better together when we meet in small groups because we can learn from each other. We can be there for each other. We can celebrate each other. We can celebrate the wins, and we can encourage each other in the falls and the struggles and the issues that we face. Jesus was very intentional about relationships, and we need to be as well. We can't just let anybody in, right? But the Holy Spirit, you'll know. You'll feel that on the inside, that, hey, I feel peace. I feel like I can talk to you. That's something that we're praying for and seeding the culture of the church, is that where people just, when they come in through the doors, it's an easy-to-receive atmosphere, but it's also an easy-to-connect atmosphere. Us together, and the people who aren't here yet, that it's easy to receive from God, but it's also easy to connect with other people. It's called life-giving. It's called a breath of fresh air. It's actually called just loving people. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, Jesus sent out the 12 disciples. Out of those 12, there were three that were closest to him. Jesus shared his life with these guys, and he invested in these relationships. With all their flaws, with all their imperfections, he invested in them. Jesus mined the gold in these individuals. He mined the gold and developed meaningful relationships. There's going to be relationships that aren't, that you might have to mine the gold in. That maybe you're the encourager. Don't always look to be encouraged. Don't always look to what you can receive, but look to see how you can contribute. Because there's gifts and talents in this room. There are people here that are encouragers. There's people here that have strong faith that, bless God, I'm going to see the end of this with you as we believe God together. There's other people here, you know what? You cook like a boss. I believe cooking is a spiritual gift. You talk about food, it makes everyone happy, just about. Amen. Almost everybody. I know one person. Almost everyone gets happy. Rachel was up at 4 a.m. this morning cooking some taco meat because today is Jesus Day. Build your own taco day out back as we launch small groups. But up at 4 a.m. and like several different pots of all kinds of goodness. So I hope you enjoy. But I believe that even making food and breaking bread is very spiritual. It's actually in the Bible. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Mind the golden relationships. What you invest now will be there for you in years to come. See, there are seasons in relationships. Some people in your life just for a short window. Other people a little bit longer window. Other people are lifelong friends. Know your season. Know the people around you. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. But if you have a need right now and you're lonely, I just need people around me. Don't try to bulldog your way and over-spiritualize it. No. Just get around a person that you can have a relationship with. Because you're created to connect. And when you don't connect, you're going to be a frustrated Christian that no one's going to want to be around. There, I said it. We can build tacos later and talk about it. But I believe there's some people in life that they're so frustrated because they're not making a connection with somebody, which is a real need they have in their life. And they're walking around frustrated, and that's not God's best for you. If we really want to talk about it, it's because they didn't have a boundary in their life, so they got hurt in a previous relationship, and they're walking around wounded. It's not God's best. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands if that's you. I've been hurt before. Relationships do require an element of risk, but God is faithful every time. God will lead you to the right relationships. If there's a void in your life, He wants to fill it. But God also works through people. Amen? Jesus showed us the importance of relationships, not only by what He said, but how He lived. But how He lived. He invested in other people. A big part of the vision of the church as we're moving forward together is building healthy, strong relationships with each other, but those also with those who aren't even here yet. There are going to be people that be coming in, getting born again, dealing with challenges that don't look like us or talk like us. They're not going to change the culture or change what we believe as a church. We're still going to keep loving them. And our job is not to judge them, but point them and encourage them to take their next step with Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. That's why it's important that we come in here and we have an atmosphere of praise and worship. Because it's in that atmosphere of praise and worship that draws people closer to Jesus. That draws you closer to Jesus. Amen? What would happen if the worship team wasn't prepared? You'd have to sing. Some of you just got really nervous. But we thank God for the worship team too. Amen? So back to small groups. Small groups provide a safe place for people to be loved, encouraged, and discipled. To be loved, encouraged, and discipled. After a wonderful time of ministering throughout Galilee, Jesus, after seeing the miracles and tremendous healings, Matthew 4, verse 23, Jesus healed every kind of sickness and disease. He freed people who were bound by demons and demonic activity. Large crowds followed Jesus everywhere He went. And then we come to Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. It's the Sermon on the Mount. But I don't know if you've taken the time to read it or study it, but I encourage you to do so. Crowds were following Jesus because of what just happened. Jesus went up to the mountaintop just to sit and hang out with the disciples, and he began to teach them. And I can picture he's sitting down, and they're talking, and Jesus is teaching them. And then he begins to talk, and all of a sudden the crowd's gathering, and we're going to have to go up a little bit higher, guys. And he's talking with them, and he's imparting life into them, and he's teaching them, and he's sharing with them the sermon. I believe he was talking to the disciples, and the other people that were gathering around him got the benefit of it. So now the crowd's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and here he is, he's sitting there, and he's addressing the multitude. But it started with the 12. The Last Supper, the night Jesus was betrayed. He knew what was getting ready to happen. But he had one desire, to eat the Passover meal with the 12 disciples, those who were closest to him. Jesus often taught in homes and engaging in smaller groups of people. Mark chapter 1, verse 29 through 34, just the reference, Jesus taught at Simon Peter's house. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. He was teaching at Levi's house. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Jesus taught at Mary and Martha's house. There's something very important that we must take away, is that small groups meeting in homes and other places other than church are just as important. It's important to come together corporately. But when you're in a small group setting, there's not, or when you're in church, in the rows, there's not always the opportunity to have the feedback and ask the questions. What do you mean by that? Is that, I don't understand that. And you can have people that can talk it out with you and work with you. That's called discipleship. Teach me more. I have a hunger to know more. We're praying right now for the hunger of God to fill every single one of us, to be more hungry for God. In the natural, you probably ate breakfast, or if you didn't, you ate dinner last night. You ate sometime in the past 24 hours, most of us. You're going to get hungry again. It should be like that for the believer with the things of the Lord. Oh, we're singing about the goodness of God. Man, I'm hungry right now, not just for the tacos. I'm hungry for a move of God. I'm hungry for more of God. I'm hungry to see people come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And every day that we wait, every day that we prolong it, there's people dying and going to hell every single day. And I'm not okay with that. And I'm believing that the Lord ministers and that Lord raises up other voices in people's lives. But that's just the reality of the day that we're living in. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. A friend sharpens a friend. A friend doesn't stab a friend. So you and your perfect life and all that God's done for you in your life, that's not meant to pierce or be a jab at somebody else. God's still working on you. Don't be prideful. Bible says that pride goes before the fall, even spiritual pride. Watch it. Watch it. Small groups allow us the opportunity to sharpen and uplift one another, to encourage each other, fostering deeper connections. Last time I checked, none of us arrived. Amen? We're all growing together, moving together in one force, one direction, regardless of how old or how young or how long you've been sitting in church. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. If one falls down, the other can help him up. But it's bad for the person who is alone and falls, because there's nobody there to help them. There's nobody there to help them. Through shared experiences and stories in small groups, we become each other's support system, nurturing lasting bonds of faith and compassion. Amen? James 5:16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so you might be healed, because the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We like the latter part of the verse, but we struggle with the first part of the verse. And it doesn't mean like in Catholicism, you go to the confession box and, oh, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. You go to God and say, God, forgive me, I have sinned. But if you sinned against your brother or your sister, you make it right. Hey, things aren't right in our relationship. Forgive me, I've been thinking some things and I feel like there's an issue here. And make it right. Because when it's not right here, it's not going to be right here. Horizontally and vertically, it's the intersecting point where, hey, you can go through your life and you can live life on all that, but there's going to come a point where if you're in broken relationship with another believer, it's going to affect your faith. It's going to affect your love walk. And the love walk is the basis for every single believer when we receive something from God. You can stand on the word all day long, but if you do not like your brother or your sister, or you have there's a break in the fellowship, you're going to be limited in what you receive. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Actually, you can make 1 Corinthians 13 a confession. Rob is patient. Rob is kind. Rob is loving. Don't pray that over somebody else before you pray it over yourself. Rachel was sharing with me about their ladies' small group, and we've been doing this for several years now. She's been doing this specifically with her small group for several years since the church started. And there have been some amazing stories of breakthrough, friendships, and powerful times of prayer, healings like... some big healings. These groups are discipleship and true friendship. When you're in that real life struggle, when you get that cancer diagnosis, when you get that call, like I got 3 years ago, when my friend had an aneurysm and died. It's the relationships in your life that help you get through. Yes, even when you're going through the natural process of emotions, where you get angry with God because of what happened in your life, and right, wrong, and different, we all do it. It wasn't God's fault. But it was the people in my friend's life that helped him get through. And that's what small groups are to be for us as a church family. To help us celebrate the good times. But it's the people in my life, it's the people in your life that you're getting ready to enter a small group with. That when life kicks you in the gut, that they're there to surround you and love on you, to help you, and they pick you back up. You're going to be okay. You can make it. God is faithful. No, just do the next right thing. Come on, you've got this. Come on. Yeah, it doesn't negate the gravity of the situation and the impact of the situation. But I still love you and I'm still here with you. And maybe they don't even want to hear about the goodness of God in that moment. Most people typically don't, by the way. They just want to know that you love them and that you care about them. I'm here with you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm with you. That's the type of connectivity that we're supposed to have as a church family. Being there for one another, bearing one another's burdens, sharpening each other. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I'm getting ready to wrap this up. This is after Jesus went to heaven. The disciples, after community was built and many people came to know Jesus and believed in God. It's verse 42. And they spent their time learning from the apostles. And they were like family to each other. They also broke bread and prayed together. Everyone was amazed by the many miracles and the wonders that the apostles worked. All the Lord's followers often met together and they shared everything that they had. Support. They would sell their property and possessions and give the money to whomever was in need. Day after day, they met together in the temple. They broke bread together in different homes. And they shared the food happily and freely while praising God. Everyone liked them. Each day, the Lord added to their group others who were being saved. You see, it's community. Small groups can sometimes be the back door that someone who might not ever enter the row, enter the building, they'll come to your house. They'll come to your house, and we've done small groups before. And we'll probably do them again, called game night. Well, that's not very spiritual. We'll pray over the food. We'll talk about Jesus. There'll be God conversations in the middle of me taking you down playing Monopoly. You know, my mom led a small group on the other side of town where we were staff pastors at. And it was game night. And there was this guy came, his name was Lucky. Lucky was a neighbor. Lucky and his wife, and he was part of the Sikh society. Very peaceful. They didn't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God. Very peaceful, very open to hearing. It's a false religion. My mom invited him to a small group, planted seeds in his life. He would come to small group. His name was Lucky. Lucky would hang out and meet different people. He would have interesting conversations about Jesus with people. Lucky still talks to my mom today. And that's a relationship, and those are seeds that are still being planted. Lucky's a good man that encountered the love of God, that encountered the goodness of God, that still is deciding whether he wants to choose Jesus or not. Small groups are a place to where someone like Lucky can come in and not ever read the Bible per se, but he can get around you. Might not ever experience the love of God in the pages of this book, but experience the love of God through your life, through your words, through your kindness. Going out here, I know there's a sign on the door, you're now entering into your mission field, but small groups, yeah, they're for us, but they're also the opportunity to invite other people in to one step closer into relationship and fellowship with Jesus. How many more Luckies are out there today? How many more Luckies are in your life right now that are just waiting for an invitation? We live in a world that's broken, that's hurting, that's struggling, and they're looking for answers. This generation is looking for truth. They're looking for answers. We have the answer. His name is Jesus. This church is one invitation away from every seat being filled. Who are you inviting? Who are you inviting? Relationships are important. There's people in your life that you talk to every day. But do you talk to them about Jesus? Do you talk about the goodness of God? Do you point them to Jesus? If it's worth coming to church one day out of the week, in your relationship at home, in your prayer closet, in your quiet time, then don't you think it should be important for us to send out an invitation to talk about this very important person in our life who we happen to know is God, but also our Heavenly Father? Don't you think it's important for somebody else to know Him? You know, we've been married coming up on 24 years. Pray for me. She'll get the mic at the end, whatever. Everywhere I go, I talk about her. Just like I did. No, I'm kidding. Have you met my wife yet? Always talking about my wife because she's important to me. You talk about what's important to you. If you're not talking about Jesus, then maybe he's not as important as he should be in your life. Maybe he's not a priority. I'll keep moving forward because I know you want tacos. Small groups are a safe place where participants don't try to fix each other. They support each other. It's not your job to fix anybody, set anybody straight. That's the Holy Spirit's job. You going to fix somebody? Look in the mirror. Sorry, Rachel had me test her taco meat this morning to see if it was spicy, and evidently it was a little spicy. If it was important then to have small groups in the early church and to relate and to connect, how much more important for us today? So this morning I want to give you a little snapshot of what the Bible says about relationships. Relationships are important. Every relationship needs healthy boundaries. Begin to build trust with people around you. That's where it begins. Take a risk. Be transparent. Be authentic. Just be you. And allow people to see you. Not your perfect life. Small groups. This is the last spicy thing I'm going to say today. Small groups are not a gossip session to where you talk about things you don't like in the church, about people, about the pastors, about the leaders. It's not what small groups are. We will not put up with that. I'm saying that with a smile on my face. Gossip just reveals your character. Now here comes dessert. Small groups are a place to be discipled in a setting where people can ask questions that we're not able to in the rows on a Sunday morning. We looked at the book of Genesis today. We're all created to connect. We all need crazy friends in our lives, like the people in the New Testament with the paralyzed guy and they tore the roof off. That'll do whatever it takes to encourage us just to get in front of Jesus, just to get closer to Jesus. We all need friends in our lives that'll be like that, and that's what small groups can be for you. You're struggling. Who said that's impossible? If Jesus did it for somebody else, why not believe that he'll do it for you? We need friends that'll get us in the same room, get us in front of Jesus, always point us to Jesus. Friends who will challenge you and encourage you to keep moving forward. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up right now if they would. To keep growing, to walk in freedom. Most of the time we don't experience the benefit and the blessing of relationships is because we're not walking in true freedom. There are some wounded warriors who have been hurt by relationships. Man, every hand would be up in here if I asked the question, who's been hurt by a relationship or by people? By Christians. And here's the thing is that we've all can have the tendency to be hurt by believers, followers of Jesus. And here's why. Because we're all just trying to do the best we can. But we all go through struggles and tests and trial and challenges. But the flip side is that there's always people coming in here and will be coming in here getting born again. We're to love them because they might not know what you know. So a word that they might say or how they might act might hurt. But if you carry the offense, you're the one that's going to lose out, not them. So there's that grace, there's that mercy, there's that love, there's that understanding. The Bible says, guard your heart because out of it flows the issues of life. So I want to encourage you, guard your heart. Now, I know for the introverts in the room, I'm not going to look around anybody. This seems scary. It can seem uncomfortable. But every step you take towards growing your walk and your relationship with the Lord in building community is a step in the right direction. It doesn't have to be a bunch of people. Just one person. One relationship can change your life. It's said that there is one person that led Billy Graham, that was praying for Billy Graham for years, and led him to the Lord. All it takes is one person to make a difference in your life. And in that life can make a difference in the world. So the impact is eternal. What if that person that invested into Billy Graham's life was an introvert that said, I couldn't do this. I can't do this. I'm not that person. I'm not a people person. You don't have to necessarily be a people person. Be a praying person. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart what your next steps will be.